I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. A little later, another in our series of stories to acknowledge our trip to New York earlier this week, a Faith Matters conversation on race, faith, and identity. My conversation with the Abramson family. They are adherents to the ultra-Orthodox Lubavitcher Jewish movement, and they are African-American. But first, a conversation with a fellow Brooklynite, Jimmy Smits. The Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning actor has played a range of characters, from his breakout role as attorney Victor Cifuentes on L.A. Law to business mogul Alex Vega in the CBS drama Kane, which told the story of a large Cuban-American family at the helm of a rum and sugar empire in South Florida.
Rum is sexy. Rum put the Duque name on the map. Rum's only good for one thing. I say we stay in the sugar business, Pop.
Bobby, whose side are you on, huh? His side or your family's?
You're both my family. Look, I'm sorry, Pop. If you want to sell, for whatever reason, in your gut, if you want to sell, we sell.
But not to the Samuels!
Never to the Samuels.
Jimmy Smits is in Washington to host the 28th annual broadcast of A Capital Fourth, the 4th of July celebration held in the Mall here in Washington, D.C. The celebration includes musical performances from a variety of artists, a spectacular fireworks display, and music by the National Symphony Orchestra. It's broadcast live on PBS. This is the first year that Mr. Smits has hosted the celebration. He was kind enough to stop by our studio to visit with us. Thank you so much for stopping by.
It's really my pleasure to be here, Michelle. Thank you.
Your first year as host of the Capitol Fourth, why did you want to host the event?
The independence celebration that they have is just, when you see those fireworks and that backdrop of all of the national monuments, it's just, it left me very, besides the ooh and ah, it left me very reflective about, I don't know, what it is to be an American. And I just felt very privileged that they asked to take on the hosting mantle there. A little more pressure, but I'm happy to be there.
Does the 4th of July have any special meaning to you?
I guess the fact, Michelle, that I'm like second generation here and my family came here in search of quote-unquote the American dream, you know, they're...
Just to clarify for folks who don't know, your mom was mm-hmm. from Puerto Rico. Your father is a Surinamese immigrant of Dutch descent, if I have that right.
Yeah,
you spent
right.
a lot of your childhood back and forth between New York and Puerto Rico.
Right. But, you know, it was all about coming to this country and having their children do better, you know. So it does have an added meaning of the greatness of this country. And having continued with my education, the road that we still have to go.
Our program made its debut in New York this week. I cannot resist mentioning that you and I went to the same junior high school in Brooklyn.
We did.
George Gershwin Junior High.
That's right. We're sitting from the same hood.
And I won't burden you with the school song. although, for the record, you were ahead of me. Do you remember you starred in Damn Yankees?
Oh, my. You know, I actually got my first taste of theater at George Gershwin Junior High School.
In the drama club?
In the drama club, because there were two teachers there that had dedicated their lives to music and enriching young people with Broadway classics. And if you were part of that drama club, it was...
How did you know you wanted
serious.
To be an actor?
I certainly got a great taste of it there at George Gershwin Junior High School, but I think we moved around a lot growing up, different neighborhoods, different boroughs, different cities, different countries, and I'm talking about we moved around a lot. So the fact that I had to continually adapt to different environments that had different languages, different ethnicities, different economic stratas, there was always this thing about, how am I going to fit in this time? So I guess a seed from that was planted there also.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with award-winning actor and the host of A Capital Fourth, Jimmy Smits. I wanted to talk to you about the National Hispanic Foundation for the Arts. You were a co-founder. I think I'm fascinated by this because it's one thing to, first of all, you're completely self-made. You know, you had no hookup in the business
right.
and went on to get an MFA and, you know, get an education. Your profession is not known for being particularly generous. It's known for being rather competitive. So you went on to start this foundation to support other people within the arts. You give scholarships. You mentor. Why? So important to you?
The educational route for me has been everything. The fact that I was able to have been afforded the opportunities to continue my education, it was the springboard for me. I just wanted to kind of like pass that on. When you start thinking about minorities in this country, people of color in this country, and how they should be given ample choices to pursue educational endeavors and what's out there so that they can take the next step, I just wanted to open the door a little bit further if I could.
Well, some people would consider it enough that you're a successful actor and role model. And it does take a lot of time. You put a lot of time into the foundation.
But when I get the gratification of getting a letter from a kid who started out as a scholarship recipient and has now worked his way from an intern on one of the cable stations, is writing his own show now, I can't tell you what the rush that is to know that you've affected in another way.
There's been a perpetual discussion, particularly among, I think, all people of color, African-Americans, Latinos, Asian-Americans, Native Americans, certainly, about mm-hmm. the depictions of people of color on television and in the movies. When you think about where you are now as opposed to when you started out in the business, do you like the direction that the business is going? You think it's portraying people of color in a comprehensive light to the degree that you would like? You think there's still more to do?
Of course, there's always more to do. We've taken tremendous... I used to say it was that they're like baby steps, but we've taken major strides now. And I think that the biggest contributory factor to that is that we are more in control of the content. So it's not just being in front of the camera, but as writers, as producers. I think that's very important.
And yet the people still complain every season that, A, there aren't that many roles for people of color. And in the comedies particularly, people feel that the depictions are cartoonish. Some of the reality shows people feel are just, you know, it depends on your point of view, of course. It's actively demeaning and destructive, even though they star and involve people of color on both ends of the camera.
Right, right.
I'm thinking about Flavor of Love, for example.
Yeah,
which is
a
perpetual target of anxiety.
But exactly. But we are in a universe now where we've expanded in terms of the amount of different variables that the audience can turn to. But when you start thinking about quote-unquote network television, there's still strides to be made, you know. I mean, when will we see on network television an hour drama show about an African-American family or a Latino family? We still got ways to go.
Well, Kane was considered to be a breakthrough. We mentioned Kane earlier, was considered to be a breakthrough because it was an hour-long dramatic series focused on a Latino family. Was it very disappointing to you when the show didn't survive? And part of that had anything to do with you, but it launched right before the writer's strike.
Before the strike.
And
it
was such a long hiatus.
You just played that clip and I can't tell you, it was like a knife going through my heart there. It was hurting me so bad.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all. No, I'm very proud of what we did. No, come on, Michelle. Michelle's going, it wasn't my fault.
No,
I'm very proud of what we did, of every frame that's on there. I think the show is just beginning to really kind of find its voice. But, of course, the writer's strike happened, and we were kind of like collateral damage mm-hmm. on some level. But on another level, there's me thinking, is America really ready for this kind of thing? Anyway, I'm serious.
Well, America was ready for you to be president. You're the West Wing show, of course, a huge hit. You were Democratic presidential nominee, Matthew Santos, and you ran against Alan Alda's character, the Republican presidential nominee. Let's play a short clip. Well, maybe it'll ease the pain of Kane. Here.
Now, it's been suggested to me this week that I should try to buy your support with jobs and the promise of access. It's been suggested to me that party unity is more important than your democratic rights as delegates. That's right, it's not. And you have a decision to make. Don't vote for us because you think we're perfect. Don't vote for us because of what we might be able to do for you only. Vote for the person who shares your ideals, your hopes, your dreams.
Whew, yeah, there you go.
Okay, so now I'm getting emotional, but it's another way.
Well, I understand that there was a background West Wing Barack Obama campaign connection in developing that character. Do you think that Matthew Santos in some ways laid the groundwork culturally for what we're seeing now with the Obama campaign?
I wouldn't go that far. But the writers were talking about what the direction of the show was going to go into in the last couple of years because they knew they only had two more years to go. They wanted to focus on what a campaign would be like to go take the audience through a real campaign process. And, you know, the Democratic Convention happened and we had that speech going on and those writers started talking about how they were going to, you know, structure that particular character. And he was heavy in the mix.
Have you ever met Obama?
Yes, I have. We were in a room, a tent that they had set up, and you would think that there would be hundreds of people, and it was just both of us just by ourselves. This is like totally unfiltered. It was just two people talking, and he said, I think I can really make an impact. I think I have something to contribute. It blew me away. Blew me away.
So should he prevail in November, are you going to say, I did this for you?
No.
You're me.
You owe me.
You owe me.
Not at all.
Have you ever thought about politics?
If there's no script. I so admire how to stay, because all of these guys start out, you know, with this idealism to try to do good and try to do better, but how not to get compromised along the way with all of the influences, lobbies, all of that happens. I have great admiration, and I'll just watch from the distance.
Thank you so much for stopping and spending a few minutes with us.
It's a pleasure, Michelle. It's a pleasure. I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you. Golden Globe and Emmy Award-winning actor Jimmy Smits. He is host of A Capital Fourth, airing live on PBS tonight. Thank you so much.
God bless. Happy Fourth.